Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, joined with Shad Markowitz. We are your hosts for this weekend show, and a big shout out to Shad throughout the middle to tail end of the week. As I was away, Shad took over all the daily editorials and had some great commentary. So make sure you go back and listen to a lot of those daily editorials and even some of those focused on some stocks that our commentators like. We're going to get right into this show because we are kicking off the show with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisory Group, also editor of the Book Report website. I will post a link within the weekend show posting to Peter's website, that Book Report, and that's where he breaks down all recent data and any key market moves that have his attention. Now, Peter, I read over every email that you send out through the Book Report, and I really want to start focused here on inflation. Look, you've been watching the data closely. You've had a very level-headed approach to just where inflation's going, and everybody has been throwing around that whole, is it transitory? Is inflation not transitory? We've seen a little pullback in some of those high inflation numbers that we had from months ago. Peter, break down what you think is important to understand about inflation and where you think it's going, please.
Well, services inflation, which is about 60% of core CPI, headline CPI, which is services inflation ex energy, that's never transitory. In the 20 years leading into COVID, that averaged 2.8% per annum of an increase. So the real debate is where does the good side of that inflation equation go to? And we are no question seeing a cyclical upturn in inflation on the good side. That's obviously filtered into the services side as well. And I'm not of the opinion that it just gets fixed so quickly, because it is so widespread, and because in particular transportation costs have gone up so much, and there's some secular factors that could keep transportation costs elevated. And the reason why I throw in that is because we know every single good that is produced in this world ends up on a truck, a ship, a plane, or a railroad. So if those prices stay elevated, that also embeds itself into the good side. So, at some point things will be somewhat more normalized, but all you need is a couple of years of sticky inflation, persistent inflation of 3-4%, and that creates its own problems. It hurts growth as real wages fall. A world of negative interest rates, zero interest rates, and all this QE is certainly not a good backdrop for persistent inflation. And it also hamstrings or handcuffs, I should say, the central bank's ability to continue on as they have been continuing on, in the sense that when inflation is low, you know, they feel they have license to do whatever they want at the pace they want. But if inflation becomes more of a problem, more of a challenge here, then that license may actually get taken away, and the market then possibly forces things upon the Fed.
Well, Peter, one of the things that we all know is that the government metrics don't really factor in all of the different areas of inflation. Some of the energy components, some of the way they calculate renters, and some of just the other areas, food, is not in there. But anybody that goes to a grocery store, anybody that goes out and buys something, can see inflation in their daily lives. But there's going to be a point where if inflation is sticky, and if it does stick around, that beyond the taper talks, they may have to start looking at tightening. But we all know if the Fed starts to tighten in this environment, they have such a huge balance sheet that it would be problematic. So how do you see that all squaring off?
Well, I think ending QE is going to be enough of a challenge for them when I say challenge, it's obviously easy to do. You just pick a day when you're starting and you space it out. But difficult for them because I don't know if they're going to have the guts to follow through with it. Because if the stock market, or I should say when the stock market falls in response to tapering, and I say when, not if, it's because every single correction of note outside of the Chinese yuan devaluation in 2015 and COVID coincided around the end of QE or tapering of QE in addition to rate hikes, do they have the intestinal fortitude and the guts to continue on in the face of a fall in the stock market? So I don't think that they're going to be thinking about raising rates until QE is done. I think one of the lessons they learned in 2017, 2018 was not to shrink your – no, obviously ending QE is different than quantitative tightening where the balance sheet actually shrinks. The first thing the Fed's going to do is obviously maintain the level of their balance sheet when QE is over. And, of course, that level is going to be much higher than the size of their balance sheet. But I think they are really focused on getting that done first before we talk about raising interest rates. But that also gets to the point of them being so far behind the curve here is that here we have pretty aggressive inflation stats, which I think will continue, not necessarily at the same pace that we've seen, but at a much higher than a level than people are used to, that even when they're done with QE, rates are still going to be at zero. And yes, that will be at some point something that they're going to have to face. And like I said earlier, the direction of inflation will sort of assert that timeline for them rather than them doing it themselves. So to that point, the Fed may keep rates at zero as they end QE, but if the bond market is worried about inflation still, they'll tighten for them, which is essentially what we had in the first quarter of this year. Is the market had a tantrum. It wasn't a taper tantrum because the Fed didn't tell us that they were changing policy yet. It wasn't a rate hike tantrum because the Fed obviously didn't tell us they were going to hike rates. It was a bond market that decided, you know what, inflation's an issue right now, and we're going to adjust. Now, granted, of course, yields have fallen because for a variety of reasons, but it was a sign that the bond market has no problem with sort of adjusting to where they think rates should be, irrespective of where the Fed wants them to be.
So, Peter, what do you think the Fed can handle in terms of higher inflation? Because in all fairness, before COVID, before all these new spending programs, inflation was still, for the most part, stuck under that 2% level that the Fed wanted. And the Fed was even saying, look, we're okay with inflation running hotter to average out some of those slower months and even years where inflation was under 2%. Now we're over 2%, and inflation's come back a little bit from some of those much higher readings at 5%+. How long do you think the Fed could withstand, say, 3 or 4% inflation?
Well, I think the question to answering that is how the bond market responds first, because the Fed tends to follow the market, and if the market starts to get really uncomfortable with persistent inflation and starts to adjust rates in the face of anything the Fed will do, the Fed will then follow suit. How they will follow suit, I'm not exactly sure, whether they would speed up the tapering or start talking about rate hikes. But I think they're going to actually take their cue from the market. They'll take their cue from inflation expectations and tips. They'll take their cue from the inflation questions in the confidence numbers, where real wages go, because that's the problem the Fed has, is we have a stagflationary type environment right now, and that is a central banker's worst nightmare. So I would call like policy right now is basically cross your finger type policy, that they're hoping and praying that inflation falls back down so they can sort of wrest control of a policy back into their own court, I guess you can say.
Yeah, Peter, you're not alone in saying that the Fed has backed themselves into their own corner, but we'll see how they try to play their way out of it. We're out of time for this segment, but we're having you back on next segment, Peter. So everyone, stick around. Chad and I are going to be right back with Peter Buchbar.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And Chad and I are continuing to chat with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisory Group, also editor of the Book Report. Now, Peter, I cut you off at the tail end of the last segment. I know Chad was going to come in with a question. So, you know what, Chad, take us away for this segment, please.
Well, Peter, one of the things you mentioned was that the bond market took it in its own hands to adjust rates the way they felt it should be because the Fed is admittedly behind the curve. So one of the concerns a lot of analysts have is if this tapering moves forward, and we'll wait to see how it goes at Jackson Hole and at the September Fed meeting, but if they do start tapering and it's meaningful and they set up a timeline and they start going, if they go aggressively and they're not buying those bonds, right now they're spending $120 billion a month on bonds. If they dial it back to $90 billion and then $60 billion and then $30 billion, the question is who's going to buy those bonds? And if nobody is, rates will naturally, the 10-year and the 30-year will rise as a result of that, which would then potentially crimp some of these big moves we've seen higher in the markets. How do you think that plays into this factor of as they taper, it could actually cause a new taper tantrum down the road?
Well, interestingly, when they ended QE1 and QE2 and they tapered QE3, is yields actually fell. And when they initiated QE, yields actually rose because the market interpreted it as, okay, QE on, let's steepen the curve because that's reflationary of QE. But when QE stops, that's potentially contractionary, potentially could lead to a slowdown, so let's flatten the curve. So I'm not exactly sure how a long end will respond to the end of QE because we still have U.S. banks that are potentially big buyers of treasuries. The U.S. government, while they're still selling an enormous amount of treasuries to finance the huge budget deficit of the U.S., that budget deficit should shrink this year compared to the last couple of years, or should say relative to, you know, the COVID time. So it's not as clear-cut as, okay, when the Fed is done, rates rise. When the Fed is doing this, rates fall, because we've seen counterintuitively reverse responses. I think the biggest influence on QE, well, no doubt it's monetizing the debt. So, yes, I mean, we do have to replace that. But even as they do taper QE, they're still going to be buying a lot of bonds for that time frame that they're going to be scaling back. And it's not as clear as where rates go when that happens. I think it's – and even it may not be clear when the Fed starts raising interest rates, because that may flatten the curve even more. If people are worried about the growth implications of rate hikes.
What about globally, too, Peter, when it comes to inflation data? What have you been noticing in terms of global inflation data and also central banks? We've had some of the smaller central banks already start to tighten and increase rates. Some of the larger central banks, so they do seem to be resisting that and using the Delta variant as a reason for that. How are you looking at the global picture here?
Well, it is interesting that many developing central banks who have a lot of experience with inflation have been raising interest rates. Brazil, Russia, Mexico, and others. Canada has been tapering QE. So I think that there has been, at least for some countries, Norway has hinted that they're going to be raising rates soon. South Korea said they're going to be raising rates soon. So there has been a response to the possibility of it. Now, wholesale inflation is a global phenomenon. Supply shortages is a global phenomenon. The cost of transportation and shipping skyrocketing is a global phenomenon. But from a consumer standpoint, different countries have had their own idiosyncratic ability to pass that on. Like, take Japan, for example. One of the things that's been keeping a lid on consumer price inflation in Japan, even though producer price increases have been pretty robust, is a 40% year-over-year decline in mobile phone fees. Well, that is a lot to do with government mandate and edict for those big declines. So it's also how they measure it. I mean, Europe measures the rent or housing component of inflation at a much smaller percentage than the U.S., and it's too low, and they're actually trying to readjust it. So they understate inflation if you would include housing prices, and housing prices in many parts of Europe have gone through the roof because of low interest rates. But I think overall the trend is higher when it comes to consumer price increases. And ironically, this is what central banks have rooted for, because they nonsensically root for higher inflation. And it'll be interesting to see how they respond to it once they get it.
Yeah, it's interesting that they were rooting for higher inflation for so long, and then they got there, and instead of taking a victory lap, they started talking it back down as transitory. But another component to the transportation is energy cost. And as energy costs, like we've seen what happened with oil and gas. You know, oil was negative last year at one point and very low, and then it's been in the 60s to 80s this year. So that's a huge component to inflation because it affects how goods are shipped around the world, the input costs that companies have. And so that's a big pressure. But there's also the wage pressure that's growing. And so in addition to some of the hotter inflation metrics, we also have wages rising, not just in this country, but globally. And that kind of puts a cost push inflation scenario together where you have rising prices mixed with rising wages. Do you think that's going to culminate into something where people have to address the inflation issue and admit that it may not be transitory?
I believe so. And to your point about wages, particularly on the leisure and hospitality side, now we'll see how that plays out with Delta, even though I'm more confident that we'll be able to get in control of it. But, there are labor shortages in many different parts of the market, and there's no question that wages are going up in certain sectors of the economy, maybe less so in others, but certainly in certain parts. And that then feeds into the whole inflation theme. Again, we're not going to run, inflation's not going to run the 7-8% annualized rate that we've seen so far this year. But even if it falls to 3-4, maybe even 5%, you know, that ends up being a serious problem. You know, unfortunately, most people in the markets were either a child in the 1970s, such as myself, or they weren't even alive in the 1970s. So they don't know anything of what sticky persistent inflation looks like. They always assume that, hey, it goes up, it'll come right back down, and the Fed will do whatever they want to keep everyone happy. And I think we're potentially entering a situation where it's just not going to be that easy.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, too, right now, Peter, coming out of that pandemic and all the money that was printed, it really is uncharted territory. And I really feel like everyone is, in a way, guessing what the Fed is going to do. And a lot of those guesses don't really come with any backing of what the data is saying, and sometimes not even what the Fed is saying. I understand that the Fed can flip-flop regularly, but again, we're looking at inflation that all of a sudden just started to skyrocket. Now it's coming a bit more back to earth, and some of those that want higher inflation for whatever investment they have, they always have the narrative that inflation is just going to skyrocket higher. Really, we're looking ahead here, trying to figure out what kind of direction we're going, and this is all after a pretty slow summer. Very different than last year as well, so we'll see where it all goes. But we're going to have you on next segment, and we are going to dive a bit more into the markets and the metals. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Peter Bufar.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
New Orleans prepping for a major hurricane. The National Hurricane Center's latest update has Ida in the southeastern Gulf with maximum sustained winds of 80 miles an hour. The storm expected to make landfall in the northern Gulf Coast late Sunday or early Monday, possibly as a Category 4 storm. A hurricane warning in effect for parts of Louisiana, including Metro New Orleans. Many parents may be worried about sending kids back to school as COVID shows no signs of slowing down. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky Friday in her advice for school leaders.
Evidence has repeatedly demonstrated that multi-layer prevention strategies such as vaccination for all children and adults who are eligible, masks for all students, teachers, staff, and visitors, ventilation, cohorting, physical distancing, and screening testing work to prevent the spread of COVID in schools.
She adds schools should implement as many of these prevention layers as possible simultaneously. This is USA Radio News. Investigators looking into the origins of COVID released their findings. Here's Wendy King.
The government has released an unclassified report on how COVID-19 began. U.S. health experts say there's little evidence that it was developed as a biological weapon, but there's less confidence that it was not genetically engineered. Two U.S. agencies are saying there's not enough evidence to decide either way. The report also says it's not likely Chinese officials knew about the virus before the pandemic hit. The DNI report said the intelligence community won't be able to settle on an explanation without additional information. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
The man who killed Robert Kennedy could soon be free. A California parole board Friday recommending the release of Sirhan Sirhan. The 77-year-old shot Kennedy to death in 1968, but two of Kennedy's sons advocated for his parole. California Governor Gavin Newsom will review the parole board's recommendation. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing our chat with Peter Buchvar. Final segment that we're going to spend here with Peter, and let's start off with the U.S. equity markets because, look, even though we are seeing some extremely weak breadth, so just a few stocks, really a handful of the tech stocks and Tesla leading the U.S. markets higher and keeping them pretty much at all-time highs, we continue to see any short-term weakness bought, that whole buy-the-dip mentality, still very obvious for U.S. markets. Maybe it's just a sign of us being in summer and active traders not wanting to get too picky or active, but again, the broad averages staying at all-time highs. What do you think about the overall health of these U.S. markets?
Well, as you said, the breadth has been pretty crappy over the last couple of months. So, you know, that's been a warning flag. But, you know, for the broad indices, there's just an amazing resiliency and a desire to buy every single pullback. Now, if, and I emphasize, if the Fed follows through with tapering, and that begins in a couple months, then I think all that changes. I think the whole risk profile changes. But the market, you know, in a way, either doesn't believe that they're going to follow through, or if they do, who knows if they'll even make it through. So there's almost this like game of chicken right now between the stock market and even credit markets and the Fed tapering. I think that is quite a nonchalant attitude since, you know, a key reason why we're at these levels is because of QE and zero rates. But, you know, sometimes the market, a lot of times the market, at least over the last 10 plus years, has been very reactive rather than a discounting mechanism or proactive. So I think if Friday Powell said, you know what, yeah, Delta is a concern, but we're going to start tapering, where it lays the groundwork for wording of that kind in September, then you'll have a much different market on Friday than you have today. I know people are going to hear this weekend, but the point is that depending on what he says in Jackson, which he may not say anything, he may not want to commit ahead of the FOMC meeting a month from now, but if he does commit in one direction or another, my point is that the Monday rally could be different after he gives his speech.
Another point to consider is how much the foreign investment capital has flowed into the United States general markets, because there's been weakness abroad. We can look to China and see how their regulatory pressures, particularly in their tech sector, has really hammered their markets down. And a lot of investors are fleeing some of those areas that have not been performing as well overseas and are using the U.S. markets as their safe haven, in a sense, or even flooding into the dollar. We saw some strength in the dollar over the last week. What do you make of that phenomenon, and could that be another tailwind for the U.S. markets?
I don't know. I'm always skeptical of calling flows as a factor to move markets, because for every foreign buyer of U.S. stock, there's somebody selling that stock to them. So for every dollar that goes in, is a dollar going out. If you look at the U.S. Treasury market, foreigners have been reducing their exposure for years. They used to own half the U.S. Treasury market. Now they own about a third. And every time they buy a U.S. stock, they have a choice of whether they want to take the dollar currency risk or hedge it out. From a valuation perspective, it was the last 10 years that the U.S. market performed so incredibly well against everybody else. And if anything, to me, there are more attractive opportunities outside the U.S. when you look out over the next 10 years. So, yeah, maybe foreigners do come here, but if they're deciding now for the first time to come here, I think it would be a bit too late.
Where are you seeing some of those opportunities outside of the U.S. then, Peter?
Notwithstanding what's gone on in China over the past couple months, beginning with the crackdown on Ant and Alibaba, I think that Asia, emerging markets in Asia, to me, and even some of the developed like Japan and Singapore, are going to be really attractive markets. They're valued cheaply, and I think that's where the growth is going to be economically when looking out over the next decade. I also find the UK market pretty attractive. There are a lot of cheap energy, financial commodity names there, among others, REITs too. That market's sort of been left for dead ever since Brexit, and you get a good dividend yield. Now, granted, these are value-type situations, and the reason why the U.S. is so outperforming everybody else is because of the well-known big-cap tech companies that outside of China, the rest of the world doesn't necessarily have. But taking a valuation perspective, there's some pretty attractive ones. Japan is very attractive, I think, with a lot of top-notch companies with some of the best balance sheets in the world. So I think just relying on what worked over the last couple of years or the last 10 years may not work as well when looking out over the next couple of years and even the next decade.
Well, just finally shifting over to one more market, and that's the commodity sector. We had a pretty good run in many of the commodities earlier in the year. We saw base metals, copper, nickel, zinc, lead, all heading higher. Oil had the nice recovery we discussed earlier. The precious metals have been under pressure most of this time period. But over the last month or so, maybe 2 months, we saw the commodity sector weaken again, and it kind of went back down to support. How do you see the setup moving forward in the commodity sector?
Well, to me, the sell-off was all about the Delta variant causing concerns about growth. So that resulted in the pullback in oil and certainly copper. Lumber sort of was its own asset class and it had its parabolic move higher. But even with the pullback, it's still well above where it was pre-COVID. I do think we're in a commodity bull market. I think we've had years of underinvestment. I think if you look at the energy sector, the last thing an oil CEO is thinking about doing is investing a lot in new projects because they see that many people in the world want to put them out of business. So you're going to see years of underinvestment in oil and gas, still pretty good demand over the next 10 years. And at least in the next couple of years, I think you're going to see persistently higher prices. Copper, there's been a lack of investment in new mines for years, and I think it's pretty clear the demand drivers going forward for copper. I think agriculture, I think China is now a major player in the demand for grains and row crops like corn and soybeans. And while at least the U.S. farmer is incredibly productive and has for years continued to increase the yield on their farms, I think that the voracious demand, particularly out of China, will offset that, and ag prices will continue to go higher. And I think there's a trade there, and precious metals, which this year has been a very frustrating year. I do think that it's in the context of a strong year last year, and also will get its legs going again when people realize that inflation is not so temporary.
Peter, what do you think about the underperformance of especially the precious metal stocks and the miners generating good revenue numbers? I understand that the argument can be that, well, their input costs are going up and the underlying metals prices have been drifting, and the market, well, it's a forward-looking instrument here, and it's been telling us that metals prices, especially gold prices, were going lower. Again, though, your thoughts on just the general underperformance of these majors that have much healthier balance sheets now?
They do, and robust earnings and cash flow, and I think it's the sector that's been left for dead for years. I think that people, like I said earlier, believe that inflation is transitory and that any uptick is going to be short lived, and not many people believe in gold. They're more obsessed with Bitcoin, and it's just a group that has just been neglected in the face of some really good fundamentals. Now, granted, the mining business is tough. And there's not that consistency of earnings that you see quarter over quarter that people like to see when they buy Google or even Coca-Cola. But that's just the way it is. But, as you say, even with higher costs, margins are still really big and really fat for these miners. And I think at some point when gold and silver, which they will, I believe, takes their next leg higher, the miners will get a lot more attention again.
All right. So inflation and Fed, still the keys that we need to be watching for. I'm with you, Peter, but boy, oh boy, the Fed has started telling us that they are, well, thinking of tightening here, but or at least winding down the QE program. We'll see if that actually happens. Peter, it's always great chatting with you. Thank you for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and I look forward to chatting with you again in a little while.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Welcome back. Here we are wrapping up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am going to replay a company update that took part earlier this week. It was from GR Silver Mining on the back of a new resource estimate at the Plomosas project. Look, there were a lot of good interviews and company updates that we had this week, so please be sure to go back through the week and click on those company updates and let us know what you think of each and every one of those companies and if you have any follow-up questions for those companies. Everyone, I hope you enjoy this final segment, and I hope you all have a great weekend. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm getting one quick daily editorial out before I step away for the rest of the week, and this daily editorial, it's a pretty important update coming from GR Silver Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GRSL, and on the OTCQB under the symbol GRSLF. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Marcio Fonseca. Now, Marcio, following up on the news release that came out just yesterday, August 23rd, it is the initial resource estimates at the Plomosas project in Mexico. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, this resource encompasses a few different areas on that Plomosas project, the Plomosas mine area and the San Juan area. I'll post figure one from that news release below this interview so you can see first and foremost where the resources that the company has are. And remember that San Marcial down in the south, that resource came out I believe last year, and now we're adding San Juan and the Plomosas mine area to the resource list, and all these black labels are new targets that the company is going to drill. Now, Marcio, we talk about the resource here. It came in at indicated just over 10 million ounces silver equivalent and inferred 21 million ounces silver equivalent. So a total of about 31 million ounces here of silver equivalent. Marcio, give us a rundown of this resource. Did it match expectations? What should investors note about this resource announcement?
Thanks, Corey. It matched expectations. The street or analysts were trying to, they were quoting that we will get close to 80 million ounces of silver equivalent. So you get 79 plus a little bit, but it's a major milestone for the company. We did in 9 months what nobody, other companies which controlled this project for 20 years did. We revealed 563 drill holes, validated 476 of those, integrated with more brand new 80 drill holes, surface underground, put everything in a good geological 3D model, discovered gold and silver in some areas that were not really drilled before, and we came across some challenges, but dealing with historical data, sometimes we come with some unsampled intervals or no core available, we dealt with that and put all together and create this initial resource, which together with the San Marcial project that's next to the Promozas project. Now I get close to 79 million ounces, and you can integrate all this in a single project altogether.
Now, just to remind everybody, San Marcial, that is 48 million ounces silver equivalent, so that's where you get that almost 80 million ounces silver equivalent together. Marcial, let's talk about some of the historic drill core that you use. You said you validated over 530, I believe, and a total of 476 were brought into this resource. What can you tell us about the work that was done on that those historic holes and how it played into this resource?
Yeah, from the historical holes, we have the Grupo Mexico and First Majestic. Those are the most important ones. The First Majestic, we have the core. That means great. You have QAQC, you have everything. The historic, we have all the documentation, all the paperwork, and very isolated core. So it means we have all the assays for certificates for a lot of the holes, but we didn't have the core to go back and sample areas that were not sampled before. And we want to do that, but we didn't have the core. Why we want to do that? Because with our drilling and reviewing the First Majestic drill holes, we identified areas inside the mine that Grupo Mexico drilled and did not sample, meaning that we could add more mineralization to the resource. But unfortunately, as part of the compliance with 43-101 guidelines and also to be using the best practices and standards doing resource estimation, the QP made a good decision that was to assign a zero value for unsampled intervals. That means when you have high-grade material and brand new drill holes nearby and you have a zero in a drill hole next by, you're going to average that, so that overall reduce your grade. But we believe with a little bit of more drilling, we are going to be able to really upgrade or prove the upside in the silver grade and gold grade in this area, Promozas mine, and so on.
So you don't have any of that old drill core, right? That's why you can't go back and resample it?
Yeah, that's right. We discovered that when we bought the project, we thought we'd be able to go around and try to, just with some validation drill holes, we did some twin holes, and we proved that the mineralization is wider and more constant in those intervals. But from a geostatistical point of view, the QP is of the opinion that he must assign a zero there, and he did, okay?
So what's the follow-up work going to be then? Do you simply just drill almost twin holes to some of these just to bring that grade in? Because I'm guessing that with a zero value, that's bringing down the grade and probably the overall ounces as well.
That's right. So that brings the opportunity for upside. It's a very conservative resource, initial resource model. But it's important for the audience to understand that at the time when Grupo Mexico was drilling, most of the holes were drilled from the surface, 500 meters drill hole, 600. So they didn't have the mine. Now we have the mine, so we can go underground and drill 20, 30 meters drill holes in some very specific locations to be very surgical, you know, to try to really pinpoint some areas. And we can do that very quick. And continue to upgrade the resource and continue the drilling on surface is what we are doing, drilling, drilling, drilling.
Now, when it comes to the grade in this resource, in the indicated category, the grade is about 133 grams per ton silver equivalent. In the inferred category, 113 grams per ton silver equivalent, made up of a number of different metals. There is a gold component here, silver component, also lead and zinc. Take us through the grade component and how that potentially compares to other assets and other potential mines.
For sure. Another positive surprise for us, that even with the zeros in the estimation, we end up with 60% of the silver equivalent being related to precious metals, which is a big number, and we believe it can increase. With other mines in the same district in New Mexico, we are not that far away when you talk about the Plomosas Breccia, because that's a polymetallic, but we can have the silver and gold as a component. What's really important here, and for the audience, if they can look at the figure number 2 in the news release, is that we had some hits in gold only, no lead and zinc, almost nothing, in some subvertical zones. outside of the resource. That means we did not include these hits there because there are still some isolated holes. And we believe now that we can have a gold model that we are drilling at Plomosas South, which is a step out from the Plomosas mine area resource.
So then when it comes to all the drilling that is underway, and look, there's also, I understand, a lot of drill cores still in the labs. Where are the drills going? Where are they now? What do investors need to focus on as you move forward from this resource?
Yeah, from the second half of the, almost we are probably inside the second half of 2021, is about drilling. We announced the 14,000 meters of drilling, surface and underground. Underground because we have a drill rig now at San Marcial inside the tunnel to expand that resource and discover more mineralization, because important for the audience, we just completed this massive ground geophysical survey, a lot of new anomalies, and connecting San Marcial all the way to San Juan. And all the drill holes to the north, on the figure one, you see the Plomosas South, Trampoline, Loma Dourada, El Saltito, and the gap area is concentrating on silver gold structures or veins, trying to continue to hit high grade silver gold veins in the project, Plomosas project.
Okay. Marcio, remind everybody the cash in the bank for the company and also what the budget is or what you intend to spend as you move through the rest of this year with all the drilling.
So the budget right now is $8.8 million, and the budget was approved probably close to $2.5 million. We've been drilling at not really expensive drill holes and more shallow at the moment than the surface holes. That helped us. And might still end up very good in cash position by December and have money for next year.
Now, again, going back to this figure one where you outline where the resources are and also these other targets, what are you excited about in terms of some of these other targets and all of these other kind of vein systems that you either have identified or that are inferred?
I'm excited about because the Plomosas mine geology, what we learned, has been a school for other geologists to understand why Grupo México was biased towards the zinc and lead, and we can find more and more in these projects. For example, the trampoline that's just between San Juan and Plomosas is a parallel zone. We are going to drill that.
All right. Absolutely. Marcio, thank you for taking time. Quite shortly after that news was announced, in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of GR Silver Mining. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding the resource or any of the drilling that's ongoing, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Marcio to address those. Marcio, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.